During a recent video where I was talking about the Grey Rock Rule and gaslighting and everything that goes along with that, I found out something really interesting. And that was the story of Skylar, the person who invented the Grey Rock tool, and how she kind of came across that idea. So I found that really interesting and I made a little video out of it. Well, in the comments of that video, someone said to me, okay, now do the same thing for no contact. So that's exactly what we're going to talk about today at queenbeeing.com. Where did no contact come from? Whose idea was it? And whether or not no contact really works. So let's get started. Closed captioning provided by Athena Moberg and CPTSDFoundation.org. My name is Angie Atkinson, and this is Toxic Relationship Rehab, where I help you discover, understand, and overcome toxic relationships in your life. So if you want to take back your life, embrace your power, and become the best possible version of yourself, hit that subscribe button, stick with me, and let's get going. I have to admit, I was a little bit disappointed after I did my research. What I found out was the very first incidences of no contact being used as a tool for anything appear to be in the court system. At least that's what I was able to find, where people were saying, there's a no contact order. This is the first time no contact was used as a tool, to my knowledge, that was published. Court orders. After that, I found different studies from the 60s and the 70s where people were talking about people who had toxic parents and they didn't have necessarily positive experiences with those people, obviously. They had really bad experiences, and in some cases, therapists were actually trying to reunite them with the toxic parents. Obviously, that was a bad idea and it almost never turned out well. What it all came down to, bottom line, was that Sam Vaknin, the self-proclaimed narcissist and author of many books and YouTuber, actually was the first person that I found who ever discussed the topic. Well, right now, let's run inside to my office and we're going to take a look at some of the stuff that I found about no contact. All right, let's go.
Now, like I said, I'm not going to go through all of the court orders, but it's all over various court statements and court orders and lawsuits and everything else throughout time. I mean, I found it all the way back to like 1930. So that's that. So Sam Vaknin and his wife wrote this book in July 2015, and this appears to be the first time that he called it the no contact rule, and that's where I believe the rule originated. This is a little clip showing his website where he talks about it.
There are some really important things that you have to remember about no contact. It's really important to remember, for example, that narcissists don't give us closure. Anytime you go through a breakup or a divorce with a normal person or a healthy person, you may struggle to make sure you have closure. Some therapists will even ask you to reach out to that person and find a way to discuss whether or not you have feelings left for each other and how to deal with them from here. However, when we're talking about narcissists, this is a whole other ball of wax. Well, when you're going through a general breakup, they say that if you have even just a small amount of hope left that the relationship can be recovered, then you can't really recover from the breakup. When we're talking about narcissists, they do more harm than your average bear when it comes to breaking up. They might do something like a smear campaign or stalking or some other way of hurting you. In fact, it's more common than not. Not only do narcissists not give closure, but they also tend to cause more harm than other people in breakups and divorces. So why don't they do closure? Well, let's just put it this way. Narcissists tend to see people as one way or another, black or white. You know, there's no gray area. So either they love you or they hate you. You're either worthy or you're totally and completely worthless. And as you know, narcissists have this way of devaluing us and making us feel like we deserve nothing, like we're worth nothing. It's a common tactic. So whether you end the relationship with the narcissist or the narcissist ends the relationship with you, at this point you will become worthless to the narcissist when they decide they're all done with you. Maybe you hurt them, maybe they think that makes you worthless. Maybe they've decided they're too good for you and that makes you worthless. Whatever the case may be, this might lead them to do smear campaigning and much more. They like to humiliate people after relationships. The narcissist will generally do one of two things. They'll either completely humiliate you and tell you and the rest of the world how much you hurt them and how terrible that you are, or they'll just disappear and fall off the planet for you. Either way, you know, they ghost you. Either way, you're left spinning and going, what the heck just happened? Sometimes they don't do closure because you don't matter to them, and other times they don't do it because they want you to think that you don't matter to them. But either way, it's almost never that a narcissist gives anyone a proper form of closure at the end of a relationship.
And so a lot of times no contact might feel really unsatisfying to us because we feel like we need closure. And that's when it's really important for you to create your own closure. And I've done videos about that before, but if you're interested in knowing more about that, let me know in the comments and I'll make a new video for you. I think one of the reasons that no contact is so difficult is because we actually are addicted to narcissists. We have a trauma bonding situation where we actually feel physically addicted to them. It is basically what happens as a result of ongoing cycles of abuse, thanks to a narcissist in this case. During the abuse cycle, you go through intermittent different kinds of reinforcement. So you either get a reward when you do with the narcissist once, or you get a punishment when you don't, just like a dog. What happens is that this cycle of reward and punishment creates extremely powerful emotional bonds between the two of you, and that makes it difficult for you to even think about change.
Trauma bonds happen in any toxic relationship. They tend to be kind of strengthened by inconsistent positive reinforcement or intermittent reinforcement. So what that means is that mostly things were difficult, mostly things weren't great, but every now and then something awesome would happen, or the narcissist would do something that would make you feel kind of good, kind of warm and fuzzy inside. And in an effort to obtain that again, you would stay around in the relationship. In the beginning, it probably happened more often than not. And as time went on, the positive reinforcement most likely became further spaced out. So less of it per negative incident. Even though the relationship started off in a love-bombing place where everything was awesome, we were being idealized, before we knew it, we were being quickly devalued, quickly discarded, or falling into that cycle of idealized, devalued, discarded, idealized, devalued, discard. This led to our finding ourselves under the control of the narcissists in our lives, and before we knew it, we couldn't move, we couldn't do anything, and we found ourselves stuck. The fact is that being with a narcissist or any type of toxic person can literally destroy your life. But what is it that causes a narcissist to do these things to us? We've talked about that in a lot of different videos. The reason is because they don't have empathy, so they don't really care how they affect us, and they're very self-focused, so they only act in ways that help them get what they want. So sometimes they're nice and they're kind to you because it helps them get what they want. Other times they're total jerks to you, but it's because it helps them get what they want, or because at that moment you are not the one who can help them get what they want. You see, they use their supplies, the people in their lives closest to them, as narcissistic supply. They use them as emotional dumpsters, and they just genuinely don't care how those people feel. But regardless of the reason that they do it, the outcome of that type of abuse, that type of treatment, it's the same for everybody. Up to a point. You suffer. The worst part is, because of the addiction factor and all this other stuff, we find ourselves afraid to walk away or unwilling to walk away from these abusers. Why does that happen? Here's the thing. Love, in general, affects the same part of the brain as any other kind of drug. No joke. And when we're talking about a toxic relationship, we almost become stuck directly to that partner by our own brains. This is where our brain betrays us in keeping us safe and healthy.
So this is something we need to remember when we're going through no contact. It's sort of like detox for us in a way. And in fact, some people, if they do go no contact, they will almost feel physical withdrawals, much like an addict of drugs or alcohol would feel. What is the no contact rule exactly? Well, let's talk about it. So when we're talking about narcissists, the no contact rule means you don't see that person, you don't speak to that person, you don't visit that person, you don't send gifts, you don't call them.
Basically what that comes down to is that when you go no contact with a narcissist, you end all contact with that person. And you do this by, number one, you stop taking the narcissist's phone calls. Number two, you block them on social media networks. Number three, you do not encourage or schedule visits with them. And number four, you stop seeing, speaking to, and otherwise interacting with the narcissist. Now, if you have children together, this might be slightly different. You may end up doing what they call parallel parenting and low contact, which means you only engage with the narcissist in regard to your children and the business of raising them or picking up or dropping off. You don't engage on any emotional level.
You don't do anything that reminds them that you exist. And in fact, you actively avoid any sort of contact with that person. Well, why do we do this? We do this because it prevents the narcissist from actively manipulating us and actively abusing us. It is one way that we can start to really take back our lives. There are some people, however, who kind of go about it a different way. They use no contact in a really weird way. Wait till I tell you about this. So as I'm doing my research, I find out that there's another way that people use no contact. I don't know why I haven't seen this before.
I guess maybe I have seen it before, but I don't know why it didn't occur to me that this was the same thing. This is crazy. So there is a group of people online who is teaching, a lot of people online, who teach no contact as a way to get your ex back, which to me is ridiculous, but here it goes. It's manipulation. So they tell people, you know, when you break up, don't contact that person for 30 days. And if 30 days doesn't work, try 60 days, and then that person will contact you back.
So as you can see, there are tons of get your ex back, no contact rule people. And they're all showing, essentially, you know, this is how you manipulate somebody in order to get your ex back by using this no contact process. This is, like I say, it's common and it's not healthy.
I feel like this is really toxic for a number of reasons. Now, number one, if you're in a relationship with someone who's healthy and normal, you know, maybe they really need no contact. But if you break up, there's usually some legitimate reason for that. The thing I think that floors me more than anything is that they're advising heartbroken people to stop contacting their exes in order to make the exes miss them. I think this is really unhealthy for a number of reasons. I think that it's giving false hope to people. On the positive side, if someone does stick to no contact, maybe they can rid themselves of a toxic ex. But for non-narcissists, I don't know, maybe it works. I personally feel like if you find yourself in a relationship that you need to play games with this person, you might be dealing with a toxic person. I don't know. What are your thoughts on that? Do you think no contact as a way to get your ex back is a legitimate practice, or do you think it's a bunch of BS? Let me know. I'm going to leave a playlist for you right here that is going to tell you exactly what you can do if you need to go no contact, if you haven't gone no contact yet, and you're thinking about doing it, as well as what to do when the narcissist tries to suck you back in. That's called hoovering, and that's a whole other video. So this brings me to the question of the day. And the question of the day is, have you done no contact, and how did it work for you? Are you doing it now? Share your thoughts, share your ideas, share your experiences in the comment section below, and let's talk about it. But before I go, tell me one more thing. What exactly did you think about the possible origin of the no contact rule? Tell me in the comments. And if you have any other questions like this one and you'd like me to make a video for you, just let me know in the comments below. As always, thank you so much for being a part of my day and a part of my life. And hey, thanks for letting me be a part of yours. It really does mean a lot to me. I'll see you soon. Before I wrap up for the day, I want to say thank you to my amazing channel members, those people who choose to support me through the YouTube membership program. Your contributions to this channel make it easier for me to make videos and to make better videos for you and to make more videos for you. So thank you so much. I appreciate that. You also help me serve the community in so many other ways so that more people can learn what narcissistic abuse is and how to understand what they're going through and then how to overcome it and evolve into the person they truly want to be. And that is truly my mission in life. So I sincerely want to say thank you so much for that. And to everyone who likes my videos, subscribes to my channel, comments on my videos, shares my videos, thank you. You are also helping me spread this message just a little bit further, and it really does mean the world to me. Thank you so much. As always, thanks for being a part of my day and a part of my life, and hey, thanks for letting me be a part of yours. It really does mean a lot to me. And hey, if you're still here, make sure you take a look at the videos I'm leaving for you right there and right there. And while you're here, hit that subscribe button so we can stay connected and continue on this healing journey together. I'll see you soon.